Not yet a ghost town, Catherine, Kansas is an unincorporated community near Hays, Kansas. Catherine's rich history, from its German-Russian roots to its Catholic religion that served as a huge part of the community from its start to now, and the notable people who came from Catherine. Catherine serves as an important part of the surrounding communities and the history of Kansas as a whole. Today's episode focuses on how Catherine, Kansas has developed over time, from its founding in 1876 to the year 2021, and how its roots both religiously and nationalities, and how these have affected the residents and the culture of Catherine throughout time. We will also focus on notable people who've come from Catherine and how Catherine's history connects to the German Catholics around the area. This is Ghosted in America, Episode 5, Heritage and History. Catherine, Kansas is located just about 9 miles northeast of Hays, Kansas. Catherine was founded in April of 1878 officially, but the early founders of Catherine actually arrived in the area in 1876. These founding families came from Katharinenstadt, Russia. They were Volga German immigrants who had originally left Germany after the end of the Seven Years' War in Europe. First finding home in Russia in Katharinenstadt, which was a market town that had a hugely successful economy that was really allowed to thrive under the Empress Catherine the Great. And these Volga Germans, after her ruling, the new Tsar made it kind of all of the promises that Catherine had set out and made them have this push to move to the United States. So there first comes a group kind of trying out this land in Catherine, Kansas, near Hays at the time that was already established. These founders being Justice Bissing and his wife, Frederick Carlene and his wife, Jacob Carlene and his wife, Peter Carlene and his wife, Frederick Kerner, and Sophia Gunther Kerner. Then later a second group came from Russia, still from Katharinenstadt, after these people had told them about how great the area was and the opportunities that the land had. And these consisted of people like Johann and Agnes Carlene and their children, Anna Katharina Meiss, Jacob and Anna Maria Schmidt, and more. Interestingly enough, if you go to Hays, Kansas, Victoria, Kansas, or Catherine, Kansas to this day, you will find a lot of these people's descendants, and even more from that include the list of people who moved from Catherine from Katharinenstadt, and you will find a whole long list of last names that match up to people of this day. All of Volga German descent. Catherine's roots coming from Katharinenstadt still are relevant to this day, obviously, not only with descendants, but when you look at the town itself. In fact, the town has a now sign that's super hard to read, rusted over, nearly impossible to see anything, but you can read Katharinenstadt and then Catherine underneath. Catherine was named after Katharinenstadt of these people that these people had moved from Russia. But Katharinenstadt actually was named after the Empress Catherine the Great. Which is really interesting because that shows that Catherine's name actually also is influenced by the Empress Catherine the Great. This really speaks to the Volga German heritage. I think when people hear German, they think of Germany, and a lot of the Russian heritage seems to almost get left behind. But these people had kind of this dual heritage, having to move from Germany after the war and relocating to the Volga River, and then later these people coming from Katharinenstadt. These people brought not only this German heritage, but a lot of Russian tradition. Which I think is important to note, because a lot of times we think of Oktoberfest in the Ellis County community because so many Volga German people came from here celebrating German tradition, but not so much remembering the Russian tradition that they fell into. Now, it is important to note that these first settlers did not originally come to Catherine. Obviously, because Catherine wasn't established. Instead, these settlers came to Hays City because it was established at this time, and it was about 27 residents who all lived in a home themselves. And these families would go back and forth to what would now be Catherine and would start building the town sites and the homes needed for people in the area and then come back. Soon, when they had all these townhomes necessary established, they moved to Catherine and founded the area. This took about a couple of months, and by July, there were 73 families in Catherine, and until 1877, more and more people from Catherinestadt really started coming in. In fact, probably until the 1880s and 1890s, people still continued to flock from Catherinestadt to Catherine in hopes of being able to start a new life there instead of being under the new rule of the new Tsar. There were soon school buildings and a post office that were put into effect very quickly. And while these were super important for the town, these Volga Germans also had a deep connection to Roman Catholic tradition. And so attending mass and church weekly was very important to them. They didn't build their still standing church until about 1892 and dedicated it at that time. So they were holding church services in houses and outside houses and in the school buildings, wherever they could. And at this time, they didn't have a priest. So one of the most notable and remembered people at this time was Jacob Schmidt, who was actually a descendant of both myself and Amy Young, who I interviewed for this podcast. But Jacob Schmidt is remembered by many as their schoolmeister, also known as the schoolmaster in English, who would conduct church services and led the choir and performed any and all services for teaching and church services when Catherine was first established. Jacob Schmidt is remembered in a Hayes Catholic private school, Thomas More Prep Marion, by alumni and the school administration themselves as really holding that Catholic tradition for a lot of Volga German residents who flocked to Catherine and both Hayes during this time. Additionally, you can visit Jacob Schmidt's gravesite at the Catherine Cemetery. Now, to speak to the Russian tradition that was held by a lot of the people at the time would be to talk about how they worked. The Volga Germans had this process of working on farms that was a little bit different than a lot of people who worked on farms like in the Hayes area or near Plainville. In fact, the Russian tradition was actually not to live on these farms, but to have a house in town and then commute to the farms every day to work. And while this really promoted a lot of social gatherings and people getting to be a very close-knit community, in the long run, it didn't really work out economically, leading Catherine from being one of the more rich settlements from coming from Catherinestadt, a very economically successful place in Russia, and to be now one of the poorer settlements of Kansas in Ellis County. These people not only had this townhome, but some people also had an additional home, the farmhouse, not only just working on someone else's farm, but their own specific one. So not only are they having to commute, but they're also having to keep up with the ownership of two homes. Now, what's so interesting about Catherine is kind of its fight for which was going to be more important, their Volga German nationality heritage or their religion. And a lot of times the religion kind of won over. Now, this can be described in why the town and the church are named for and after different things and people. As we discussed earlier, the town of Catherine is named after Catherinestadt and, in effect, Empress Catherine of Russia. Now, the church is named after St. Catherine, a town company who did the land plotting and even established taxes in the area and set a lot of rules for the township and settlement was called St. Catherine's Town Company, and the church was named St. Catherine. So that's actually being named after a totally different person with a totally different spelled name, and actually leads to a lot of discrepancies on how people spell the town in different historical documents, and even nowadays a lot of people will spell after St. Catherine rather than Catherine the Great. However, I would say that the focus on the church kind of at times outweighed the importance of their heritage, because not only is there such a focus on the church in their lives, but also the street names in Catherine are named after saints. Even the church has been preserved to this day more than anything that you could say is more heritage-based and nationality-based. But everything concerning the church, like the cemetery and the church and the names of the town, they're all very well kept up. And even the school building that was once a school building for children now serves as a sort of Sunday school for people in the area rather than being anything for just non-secularized public, like a public school for children. And additionally, the importance of their church and being able to practice their religion really even influenced them coming to Ellis County at all. A lot of people were lured to specifically Kansas and Ellis County because they talked about not only farmland, but also exemption from military service on religious ground. So they were not only offered being able to create settlements for cheaper on farmland, but also they were offered religious freedom. So they were very influenced to move to Kansas for these reasons. Now, talking about how important religion was in the area kind of shows you what people found most important. And it kind of leads us to our first notable person, who was from Catherine. So, Furman Martin Schmidt was born in Catherine and actually became a prominent Roman Catholic bishop. To me, this is unsurprising because of the Roman Catholic tradition in Catherine. And Schmidt was ordained a priest of the Capuchin order and then was appointed a prefect of Mindy, Papua New Guinea, and then vicar apostolic of Mindy in Papua New Guinea, and then titular bishop of Konana in 1965. And then in 1966, he was appointed the first bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Mindy, which was super important. And a lot of people in Catherine are very proud of this notable person who came from Catherine because of their own religious traditions. Now, on the other side, another very prominent person who was born in Catherine is Ron Schuller. Ron Schuller was born in Catherine in April of 1948 and was actually a former professional baseball pitcher, pitching coach, general manager, and scout for Major League Baseball, which, again, the American tradition, baseball is super important. Some of the notable teams that he played for were the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Minnesota Twins, and the Chicago White Sox. What's really interesting is because Catherine is so close to Hayes, he actually went to Hayes High School. He played baseball and basketball and went to the local university, Fort Hays State University. Got drafted out to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he was put in the MLB draft for 1966 and 1967. After playing for notable teams and becoming a free agent to go to the Chicago White Sox, he then became a pitching coach for the White Sox at age 31. He also was a pitching coach in 1986 for the Pittsburgh Pirates and worked for the Pirates as a special assistant to their general manager. And eventually he was the general manager of the White Sox. And at this time, one of his duties as being a general manager was being a scout. Schuller also served as special assistants to general managers for the Chicago Cubs, the San Francisco Giants as a scout, and the Washington Nationals as a special advisor to their general manager as late as 2009. I think that Schuller's success is kind of not only granted by Catherine and growing up there, but because Catherine was so close to schools such as Hayes High School and Fort Hayes University, where he was really able to play these sports and get involved. And because Hayes is so close, it really, over time, has opened up a lot of opportunity for residents of Catherine that they probably wouldn't have gotten because they live in such a small community. Especially after their school closed and they're not having a high school for their students. So the interconnectedness and closeness of proximity from Catherine to Hayes really has helped for the success of not only Schuller, but you could even say Schmidt, the bishop. It also should be said that Schuller kind of serves as an example that even if you come from a town that's now unincorporated, it doesn't mean that you being from a small town is going to take away from your talent or opportunities. Now, according to Amy Young, whose grandparents Hillary Schmidt and Amelia Schmidt, former last name as Romy, who came from and lived in Catherine for their childhood and for a short time when they had their first child, she said that for her family, Volga German heritage and religion were always such a big part of their traditions and values growing up. Her grandfather, Hilarius P. Schmidt, also known as Hillary, was born in 1910 in Catherine, really only about 40 years after the first settlers came to Catherine and founded the town. And so she got to hear a lot of stories about what growing up in Catherine was like and the life. Hillary and his wife actually moved to Hayes for the schooling capabilities and the private Catholic school available for their children, both Marion High School for girls and St. Joseph's Military Academy for boys. Young is a descendant of the schoolmeister, also known as Jacob Schmidt, and the schoolmaster. And she says that she holds a lot of great respect for Jacob Schmidt, not only because of the work that he did for Catherine as teaching classes to students and the children, but also holding up that Roman Catholic religion that was so important to not only her, but her grandparents and her great-grandparents. She also said that Catherine held a lot of the homes of her aunts and uncles at the time, and Catherine was a really big part in her growing up, saying that she's proud that she can go and find their homes and former houses and be able to see where her family grew up. And while Catherine is a smaller community today, she still holds great respect for the community and the history behind it for being able to not only bring her family to the United States, but create such an interesting and intricate community filled with so much similar heritage and religious base to be able to connect with people on. And anyone from Ellis County, and specifically the Hayes, Catherine, and Victoria area, can tell you that people are able to connect with one another to be like, oh, well, my family member was a Romy or a Schmidt or this German last name. People are able to connect with the idea that their families all came from a similar area, which for some communities in Kansas, there is not that same connectedness from. Shared history is a big part of residents in these areas, and they're proud to share it with you. Catherine really began to become a smaller town after its school building closed for being a public school on July 1st, 1966, when they consolidated with the Hayes School District. And the Hayes School District closed the school in 1999 because they had low enrollment and budget issues for the area. This low enrollment was because there were a lot more older residents without children living in the area, and so they didn't really have a huge need for the school. So while the school still sits proudly and really still kind of stuck in the time that it was built in 1879, now it really just serves as a Sunday school for Mass, and it also is rented out by parish members for small parties, activities, reunions, and even receptions. So it's important to me now to establish that Catherine is not a ghost town. And while this is a ghost town podcast, I found the importance of Catherine's story being told to be in that its rich history is so unique. And also the town has had declining population and is officially unincorporated by the government. And for those who don't know, unincorporation is when no longer it is an area that's no longer governed by a local municipal corporation or is administered instead by any government but by a parish or the wider county, city, state, or country. Now, in Catherine's case, it's not governed by any local town government, but instead by Ellis County and the wider state of Kansas. And this is basically called this because there's still residents of the area, but there is no local government for the specific town in that area. Therefore, they're not fighting for funding for the city like others like Hayes for schools or local buildings, libraries, etc. Instead, Catherine has a fire station, which was built by residents to have a volunteer fire station so they wouldn't have to wait on Hayes units when there are wildfires in the summers. And that's it. A lot of unincorporated settlements and communities don't have a police station. They don't have a courthouse. They all have to flock to other areas to do so. And a lot of times this is to Hayes because they're in Ellis County and Hayes has the Ellis County courthouse. And similarly, they have to wait for a police force from Hayes. For Catherine, besides having to wait so long for responses from police and having to commute for any courthouse proceedings or any business that they may have at the courthouse, it doesn't affect them too much being unincorporated because before the town was governed but didn't have a lot of focus on budget issues after they consolidated their school. And really, the whole town revolves around the church, which doesn't need to be operated, obviously, by any governmental force. And so that's why it's still in operation today. So while it's still considered a town for the people living in it, over time, with its population becoming older, there's a very likely chance that Catherine could become a ghost town in the future. So I thought, while there is so much history available on it now and so many sources still connect to it now, it'd be important to record this podcast and share Catherine's story. Especially because Catherine opened the gates for so many people moving from Catherinestadt in Russia to be able to move to Catherine and later to Hayes to help make Hayes a bustling community and provide opportunities from immigrants that they may not have gotten before. Today, Catherine is still inhabited by up to 113 people. Only a very small fraction of its nearby town of Hayes, Kansas, with over 20,000 residents. And like I said, Catherine still has a lot of original buildings that you can visit, that being a few homes that are still made out of the same stone that many settlers first built their townhomes out of, the church, the original school building, and the cemetery. In fact, the post office is even the original building and now has a for sale sign put in front of it. While Catherine having residents flock in to live in it is declining, its church and its religious basis and its heritage that it is provided to people local and in town is still very much thriving. And while Catherine differs from the other ghost towns that we have covered throughout this series and it not being a ghost town yet, its story is still so similar with its school closing down and residents moving to bigger cities, nearby cities, with more capabilities and opportunities. It is still known by many for the Volga Germans who settled the area, their church, the schoolmeister, and its history as a whole. And while I don't see Catherine expanding more than it is already because of its proximity to Hayes, Kansas, I do see its history continuing throughout stories of residents that they tell about the history and where they came from. and also for the history of Ellis County as a whole. This was Episode 5 of Ghosted in America, Heritage and History.